Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
So thank you so much that we can really like be here together. And my name is Mark. I'm from Czech Republic. And I have been in Kuwait for more than a year, a bit more. And I have one, my wife is back home, like here in Kuwait with our three kids. And we have a desire, Lord put on our hearts to live, work and serve in the Gulf. So the reason why we are here in Kuwait is all of this. And I think the same applies to you as well. Because just God moves us from place to place sometimes, even because of job or because of other things. And He wants to use us in that place. But not only use us, I think He wants to do something more with us. And we know that with every like new year, like the celebration, many people all around the world, they have expectations, but also they make resolutions. They make so many resolutions. Oh, this year, I want to change this thing. I want to change this area. I want to have more healthy habits. I want to change my Bible reading plan. I don't want to pray for 10 minutes. I want to pray for 30 minutes. I want to wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and so many things. And maybe some other people like non-Christians, they have other resolutions because they want to change something else in their lives. So this message and actually the topic that I would love to talk to about is like look to Jesus instead of making resolutions. And I think for most of us as Christians, we can say, hey, man, it's clear, done. We can go home. Like, it's easy. But I think there's something more also. Because when we look to Jesus, there is something more. And setting goals and changing things is not necessarily bad. It's a good thing. And also, God wants us to change some areas in our lives. He wants us to keep going. He wants us to get to know Him better. But the bad thing is, if we set our goals and expectations and our dreams and our plans above Jesus, and He's not the one in the first place, but our goals and visions and expectations and resolutions are more important than Him, and we focus on them more than on Jesus. And as we read in the Bible, Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11, His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor His pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His steadfast love. And we know this. As Christians, as we read the Word of God, and as we pray, and as we go every day with the Lord, we know that there's something more that we can please our Lord with. And for more than 1,000 years, there has been a journey related to each person who decides to follow Jesus, continuing until the time they are finally Jesus. And we know He still hasn't come, His second coming. We are still expecting and we're waiting. But until He takes us from this earth and we are final with Him, there is a journey for you and for me and for every man or woman who decides to follow Jesus. And the purpose of this journey is to be more like Jesus, is to be more like Him. And I call this journey, and we know this journey, but I called it like 4R. And what's 4R? The 4R, the first is realization of sin. This is the core of Christianity. This is the core of the message that we are sinful people. We made mistakes. And God gave His only Son to forgive us, to forget our sins. this is something so unique and something so deep because we fight with sin every day. Even now, even today, even this year, 2026, we will be fighting a sin and we will be running from sin. And Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all men sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 says, all wrongdoing is sin. Anything we do like bad is a sin, and we need forgiveness. And we have forgiveness through Jesus. This is the beautiful message. That we don't deserve it, but we have it because of His grace and mercy. Even now, even today, we can come to church, we can come to people, and we can realize I'm forgiven. And if I did something bad, that is of bay. I can be forgiven, and I can forgive. And this is actually the second R, receiving forgiveness and forgiving to others. Because the sin entered the world. Because of the disobedience of people, the sin entered the world, the death came, and God made a way. Still, His intentions were other with us. Because when He created the world, He didn't want us to live in a sinful and fallen world. His intentions before He created the world had been different. But because we ruined it, so God made another plan, a way that someone, through someone, we will receive forgiveness and we will be forgiven, but also we will forgive. I'm forgiven, but I need to forgive too. It works both ways. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. God wants us to act in the same way as He acted. He gave everything for us and to us so that we can be forgiven. But also He wants us to forgive. And sometimes, let's be honest, it's hard. And maybe that's why we are in Kuwait. And you say, what? I came for a job, or I applied for a job. But God uses places and people in our lives to deal with us. And maybe you are not here for Kuwait, but Kuwait is here for you.
Have you ever thought about it this way?
You spent several years in Jordan, even we are from Europe, so you are in Jordan and we are in Kuwait. And I have to be honest with myself that when I look back at the time in Jordan and even now in Kuwait, I can see that I can experience new things that are hard for me. And I had to deal with a new way of forgiveness. I had to deal with a new way of loving my authorities or the system or the government or even maybe my family. And you say, why family? Because there is something different. For example, here in Kuwait, there is a different spiritual atmosphere. And sometimes we may feel it and our kids may feel. And they experience so many different things. And we are upset or angry. But the core of actually of their behaving is not that they want us to be more angry, but actually they feel something, but they cannot name it. But I, as a parent, see physically the first thing that I see, and is just I see my kids crying and yelling and screaming, and then I become more upset. I become more angry. I become more frustrated. And I have to admit in front of all of you that I started dealing with a new way of frustration in my life. And I was like, why? And one of the things that we actually were talking about is that the reason that Jesus forgave us, we also know that we are new beings. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there is a beautiful message, reformation, that I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer who I live, but Christ who lives in me. And if he lives in me, why I'm so still angry? Why I have to run away from sin every day? Because Christ lives in me, so I expect that my life will be so different in so many ways. And actually it is, and I've been changing, but I'm not perfect on this earth. This is the message that we need to realize, because being a new creation in Christ doesn't mean being fully healed and being fully restored. If it's so, we are in heaven praising Jesus face to face, not on this earth. So the journey on this earth is still to becoming like Christ and to be more like him. And as we forgive and we are forgiven, we owe something and people owe us. Because every hurt we do is a form of a debt that people either have towards us or we have towards them. Because if I had been hurt by someone, it wasn't God's intention from the very beginning. If I hurt my children, it wasn't God's intention from the very beginning. God's intention for you and for me and for all of us was to live in a perfect, sinless world without sin. And there was perfect Mark, there was like in his heart, there was perfect Jennifer, there was perfect Chris, there was perfect Peter. And everybody of you in his mind, in his heart, before the creation of the world, God had been thinking about you in a perfect way, not in a sinful way. But because of the sin, we are dealing with the sin in my life, in my heart. And that's why I'm talking that if we hurt someone, it's not God's intention, it's just the consequence of the sin. But we need to realize that there is a way that he actually hurt people and we owe people. And I'm going to explain it later a little bit. But I'm talking about this because our journey on this earth has one purpose. And we said that the purpose is to be more like Jesus. But to be more like Jesus, it means something more. We need to pay the debt. If my kid, for example, daughter, needed my life and my love, and I wasn't able to give her the love in the very moment, I will never can pay back. I just missed the moment. I can prove it, like, of course, in a different way, but in the very moment that happened in the past, when she needed, I missed and I failed. This is the truth. And maybe it sounds a little bit like a desperation, but it's not so desperate that it sounds. Because even if we should pay back, we need to realize we are not able to pay back. That is just one and only who can pay back and who can pay all the debts. And we know it's Jesus. Let's read Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through 15. And you have come to the fullness of life in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having cancelled the bond. Let's stay with the word bond, because the Greek, the original meaning of the bond actually means promissory note or I owe you or them. So having canceled the bond, which stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. So that is a debt, but the debt can be paid only by Jesus himself. And I want us to know and think a little bit differently about our lives, because as we are thinking about to be more like Jesus, there is a journey. And from the very beginning, there has been a journey for us. And this is the third R, restoration. And this is the way that our souls are being restored and renewed, but actually is through pressing and crushing. This journey is towards our inner healing and forgiving others. I don't know if you ever experienced or thought about this, but when you forgave, for example, someone who had hurt you in the past, you may find yourself still like, there's something in my life. There's something still going on. And we can compare it as a picture that, forgive me this example, but if I stab you in a knife, with a knife, so there is a wound. The wound is healed, but there is a scar. And if you look at my arms, I have 4 scars on my arms. I wasn't stabbed. It was kind of like small surgery, but the scars are still there. And actually, these scars are a little reminder what happens with our hearts and with our souls. Because we forgave, we received forgiveness, but still there can be scars on our hearts and our souls. Why? Why is it so? It is so that we have to come to one and only and to ask him for a complete healing, for complete restoration. Because we live in our flesh body, and some things we may forget in a very second, but some things we are not able to forget for the decades. And there is a way how God actually deals with us. And we can read about it in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Pruning means cutting off branches that are unhealthy, useless for the tree, and needs to be removed so that the tree can bear fruit, healthy fruit. But pruning hurts. And imagine yourself as the tree. And the tree itself doesn't know about the branches which are useless. Only Jesus, as the true vine dresser, looks at us as trees, and he knows, oh, this branch has not been healed. Oh, this branch is really like good for nothing. There is something from the past, maybe. There is something unhealthy. Because when we accepted Jesus into our lives, it doesn't mean that you are 100% perfect. If it's so, we are in heaven with Jesus, not here on this earth. We entered and we stepped into a journey with Jesus, and the whole journey is about making us new, making us better, making us more like him. Because it was his intention from the very beginning of the world, the perfection. But still we have been carrying something in our lives. Bearing fruit equals we are also be restored by Jesus. Because we want to bear healthy fruit. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better, I don't know, employee, employer, father, friend, neighbor. But I find myself sometimes and very often that I'm not so. That I don't like, I want to stay home. I like my comfort. I like my comfort zone. And so many things, as I mentioned, since we have been in Kuwait, I experienced that there's something in my life, like sort of like frustration and anger. And it just appeared, for example, two different discussions, disagreements, and I really started to be so frustrated. And I raised my voice and started to be more annoying towards my wife, towards my kids, towards my friends. And I was so sad and unhappy about this, of course, but I didn't find just a way how to deal with it. So I was coming before the Lord and I was asking the Lord, just take it away. And it doesn't mean that nothing happened, but actually I had a call with my friend. We were talking about these issues and these situations. And actually, he asked me to describe him, like, hey, tell me about, like, how you feel it. Tell me, like, when you're really, like, frustrated. And he actually didn't point the frustration as a sin, but he pointed something else in my life. And he said, you know, the level of your frustrations is connected to something what happened in your life when you were young. And actually, he named it as the period of time when I was a kid. And I, of course, was raised by my parents, but my parents is Christians, actually, because they had a hard, like, let's say, times. And then hard, like, the early things in their marriage. So sometimes I could see as a kid that they were telling us something about God and love, but they were acting different. So there was a contradiction. And I was growing up with this picture in my mind. And actually, if it's not something like if you say yes or if you say no, and if you say, I want to do this, and you don't do it, it's a trigger for me, like, to be more frustrated. And the reason why I'm telling you this, that I remember when I was, like, 21, 22, I had, like, a moments with the Lord when I just need to forgive my parents and to other people. And I was confessing, like, my sins. I came back to some people and to my parents and asked for forgiveness. So on one side, I would say, I did it, what needed to be done. But my friend now, after more than 15, 20 years, pointed out some, like, similar thing in my past. And I asked him, why do you think it's so connected? And he said just simply, because it happens. Because you forgave your parents, that's okay. But imagine yourself as a kid, that instead of hearing their scream, and hearing them saying this and doing something else, you should have been, like, actually seeing and living in a healthy, good environment according to God's plans, but you experience something else, and your parents cannot pay it back ever. You are now adult, and there is no way how you can become a kid again and can experience these things in a way that has been intended by God. I don't know, in a sinful and unhealthy way, but in a healthy way. So imagine these situations as a debt that your parents have towards you, and they are not able to pay back. And of course, it's not up to you to pay for it. So the only way how it can be healed is if you bring hurt to this, and He will pay for it. He will deal with it. And what I did actually was that when I had my moment with the Lord, I started naming all the things that appeared in my mind when I was hurt by, as a kid, by my parents. And sadly, I have to say that there were so many. I couldn't even think about it like before, that when you start praying and when you start thinking about someone who hurt you,
there can be so many things then appearing in your mind just one by one. I was like, why there are so many? Why it's just so fast?
What I was thinking, and I was writing down everything what I realized in my heart. And then I just like invited the Lord into this area to take the rule over it and to pay for their debt.
And in the same way, I think about myself towards my kids.
It's not that I am better father than my dad. It's not this way. It's not true. I become better day by day by God's grace. And still I need to realize that I already owe something to my kids. And only Jesus can heal it. Only Jesus can restore it. And he can make it like a new, beautiful skin without scars. Because he can do it. Because this is the way we are on. This is the way of restoring. This is the way of, you know, like crushing and oppressing on one side, but it needs to be done in our lives.
Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner spire and like a fuller's soap. He will seek as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver till they present the right offerings to the Lord. And this is the same for us. God wants us to present the right offerings to the Lord. But he needs to be the refiner. He needs to be the purifier. But if we let Jesus to purify us and to refine us, it hurts. It hurts. But it needs to be there. If I don't experience pain in my heart, I will not probably realize that I hurt my kids sometimes so badly. Or I hurt someone, like a brother, a sister, or my parents even. I need to experience pain. And the pain is not wrong. There is someone greater than our pain. And our journey actually is towards number four. And number four is renewal. Is the original God's intention, our sinless perfection. God had known us before the world was created. And this was his plan. But the sin ruined everything. And his actually plan is just, he's going with us back. He's going with us something new. It will not be the Eden, the paradise. It will be a new city, Jerusalem, heaven with Jesus. But still his intention is the same, because Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose you. He chose me before the foundation of the world. This is so beautiful. There is so much hope that even in our lives, if there is so much trouble and strugglings, that uses them to purify us, to make us better, to make us new, because this is his intention, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So this is his plan with you and me in Kuwait and in other places and in other countries. And for all our lives, he will be doing this. If you go with Jesus, if you are on the track, just be ready that he will be doing from time to time, sometimes more frequently, sometimes less frequently. And we will be given a new name, the one that we should have been given if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. Revelation 2. Verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone, which no one knows except Hem Kori Seer Se. So the new name is just between you and your father. I will not know your new name. And you will not know my new name. This is something amazing about the relationship when we see our God as father and as a child. And actually, I have to tell you something with three kids, as a father of three kids, I have secrets with each of them as a father. And it's amazing that we have our secret language, because I experienced different things with my eldest daughter, and of course, different things with my middle daughter, and with my youngest son. And this is so amazing just to realize that I, as a father, and of course, my wife as a mother, she is the same, but I have secrets, like healthy secrets, of course. But there's a secret, this is a unique relationship just between me and my oldest and the middle one and the youngest. And this is the same between you and your father in heaven. This is just beautiful example how close the relationships we have with Jesus and with God. So our journey is to be more like Jesus. So instead of making resolutions, goals, setting goals, new things, look to Jesus instead of making goals and resolutions. Because if we are in with Jesus, there is a natural outcome for this. And I would like to make a conclusion or application. Goal setting is good only if it meets not our utmost desire. We can set goals, we can set some plans, but it should be just a tool. It should be means for something. It shouldn't be our utmost desire. Because if it becomes our utmost desire, it becomes more than Jesus, and this is wrong. If we abide in Christ and He lives in us, we don't need to make any resolutions, because changes in our character, habits, and other aspects of our lives should be the natural outcome of our relationship with Jesus. If you abide in Jesus, if you are with Him, actually He tells you every day, week by week, month by month, what needs to be changed. And it can be your health, it can be your eating issues, it can be your prayer time, it can be your sleeping schedule, it can be more and more other things. But the most important thing is to abide, to be with Him. Because there is nothing better, there is nothing more important than Him. Even I like many things. I like sport, I like cycling, I like doing many things. I like driving cars. And even if I can enjoy it, it doesn't bring me the utmost joy. I realize that the greatest joy of all is when I can cry before my God, and I can laugh, and I can smile, and even I am hurt, and I need to forgive. This is the place where I can be with Him, just to find healing, to find new things, to find new hope, and just to look at Him, and to realize that there is no one in the world, even my wife and my kids, and nothing in the world that can be better than Him. And the third one, instead of making resolutions, let's look to Jesus. Be with Him through the abiding and open your heart so that He can clean you more and deeper. And one more important thing, don't pretend that you are stronger than you really are. Sometimes we just want to look like that we are so strong, that we can handle everything. I think it can be mainly like related to us as men, because we like it. And actually, my wife usually tells me, you know, when I love you most, what do you think? When she loves me most. If I'm like a king, if I can handle everything, if I had answer for everything, the sometimes be as men, we have answer just for everything. We are weak, we listen to our wives. She tells me, I love you most when you are broken and when you cry. And I
I don't need every day to be broken. But still we are broken, the beautiful. So the beautiful things that are inside of us can come out. Is the example of a woman that came to Jesus with the order, and she had to probe the cup that she had. Because if she didn't break it, oil couldn't come out. So being broken is okay. Being broken is so healthy. So we don't have to pretend that we are stronger than we are. I don't have to pretend. I think you just had so many things that I actually be drunk in my life. So I would love to pray just a simple prayer right now before we're going to enter Tomayong Park. And you can use this prayer maybe in your heart. It's up to you. You can pray differently. And this prayer is actually about like giving up something and asking Jesus to heal. And you can stay seated. That's okay. Just let's close our eyes. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's look at him in our hearts. If you want to repeat, you can repeat after me or in your heart. Dear Jesus, heal me. I am desperate for you. Touch the places I never let anyone move. I am worn out. I am empty. I am down on my heels, but I still believe. Heal me, Lord. I am coming undone. I have been fighting this battle. I cannot overcome. I surrender the hurt. I surrender the fear. You are my hope. You are here. As I go with you through another year, help me, Lord Jesus, to be more like you. We pray in your dutiful names. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoet.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.